You're listening to the hottest, most radical guitar podcast anywhere. So strap on. Ooh. Plug in. And turn it up. It's time for the Guitar Radio Show. That's hot.
Number 1 of the Guitar Radio Show. I'm your host, Mark Davin, and with a love and devotion and addiction to all things guitar, we're going to cover it all, folks. All styles of guitar, music, video, gear, interviews, and all the news that's print to fit. With a heart, wire, and wood. Now, people, let me tell you, this is not my podcast per se. It's not Earl's podcast, who's behind the glass there. Hey, Earl, how are you? This is everybody's podcast, and we want to hear from you. And the best way for you to reach us and for you to let us know what you're thinking is to send us an email via guitarradioshow@gmail.com. That's guitarradioshow@gmail.com. And please visit the Guitar Radio Show Facebook page. Just type in Guitar Radio Show, and you'll find us there. We will be posting photos, videos, some audio, everything you can think of that has to do with the shows. We'll also be posting updates. So please like us on there, and you'll get updates as to when new shows are coming out. And also, when you are obviously you subscribe to iTunes, and please subscribe to this podcast and write a review. And if you like it, like it. And if you hate it, that's okay too, because you know what? I've noticed that in this country, when you've got people that hate you, you have arrived. You really have. So, without any further ado, I want to talk some more about what we've got going on here. The purpose of this podcast, obviously, is to show our love and devotion to the guitar, but it's also to expose the public to unknown guitar players and bands. You're going to hear... You know, you're going to hear Steve Vai on here. You're going to hear Randy Rhoads. You're going to hear Andres Segovia. You're going to hear Freddie King. You're going to hear all these different styles of music, and you're going to hear people that you know. But the majority of what you're going to hear on the show is you're going to hear people that you've never heard before, but you should. And we want to expose those musicians and those great guitar players to the world. So the Guitar Radio Show wants to play your material. If you are a guitar player that is interested in having your music played on this show, please get in touch with us. We are accepting guitar-oriented music for airplay on this podcast. Rock, blues, jazz, metal, country, experimental, all types of guitar-oriented music. Why? We're guitarists too, and we love this instrument that changed the world. Something very important you need to know, we will not under any circumstance accept or play unprotected material. Only songs that are protected with a U.S. copyright will be considered for airplay, or you have your own publishing. However you are protecting your material, that has to be in place for us to go ahead and play your material. So all the rights to all the material will remain the sole property of the artist, you. The only thing we want is we want to play it. So, exceptional players with excellent quality recordings will be offered in-depth interviews with portions of the broadcast dedicated to you and your music. Your songs, if accepted, will also appear, obviously, here on the podcast, will appear on the Facebook page, will appear on our YouTube channel, Guitar Radio Show. So, for more information and details, please contact guitarradioshow@gmail.com. All right, later on in the show, we're going to have an interview with Charlie Lavarco. He is the owner of Music Emporium in New York, actually Belmore, New York, which is out on Long Island. It's a store that I spent a lot of time in as a youth and bought most of the professional gear that I have, many of the pieces that I still own today. He is an expert when it comes to gear. He's a lover of all things guitar and music, and he's going to be sharing some time with us later on today to talk about gear, which is one of my favorite subjects. So let's get started with some music. Here is a guitarist from Mesa, Arizona. You can find him on stevecone.net. He's going to be on the show in a couple of months. We did a full-length interview with him. I'm going to play a whole bunch of his tunes. This is from his In Your Face album. This is a tune called Fear. Take it, Steve.
Chance to live your life. You are-
tuned in to the show dedicated to the most popular instrument in the world, the guitar. You're listening to the Guitar Radio Show. Yeah, that is Bottle Cap Rockets out of New Jersey. You can check them out at bottlecaprockets.com. That is Al Gross, the Tone Meister. He has become quite the Tone Meister. Great guitar player, great band, classic sounds, a real Americana. All right, let's do some news. This is out of England. This is really interesting, actually. This is, talk about taking it with you. Here's a guitarist from, the former guitarist from the 1960s rock band, the Ramrods, was buried in a 12-foot-long white replica coffin of a Fender Stratocaster. The workers at the Beechwood Funeral Services spent months creating the coffin modeled after John Graham's favorite guitar. Hundreds of mourners attended the funeral services at St. Andrew's United Reformed Church in Cheltenham, Gloucestershire. This was on August 3rd. His widow, June, 63, she said that the coffin was a fitting tribute to her beloved husband. I am posting photos of this on the Facebook page. And I'm going to see if I can find any news footage and put it on the YouTube page as well. This is a trip, I got to tell you, folks. That's what I call taking it with you. All right. Well, I'm looking at these pictures. They're hysterical. All right, folks, let's get into it. We're going to get into our interview with Charlie Lavarco from Music Emporium in New York, in Belmore, New York. And I hope you enjoy it as much as I did talking with Charlie. Here's the interview. Charlie Lavarco, welcome to the Guitar Radio Show. How are you this evening?
Good, Mark. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm really glad to have you as part of the inaugural episode of the Guitar Radio Show. Considering I've spent so much money at your store over the years. And very happily, too. And folks, for you those out there listening, Music Emporium over there on 2641 Jerusalem Avenue in North Belmore. Let me tell you, folks, it is the place to go. It has always been the place for me. It's probably where I bought all of my first really good gear was at your store.
Oh, yeah. I remember the days long ago.
Back when I had hair.
Yes, you, me, both. Yep, I'm trying to hang on to it. It's not the same color.
You're doing better than me.
I got some.
So let's get into this. There are so many things that I know about you and I know about the store, but yeah. at the same time, there's a lot of things I don't know about you and the store. So for you, what came first for you? Did you play the guitar prior to working and then later owning the store, or...
Oh, yeah. I started playing guitar, like all of us, when I was, 11 years old.
Really?
Started playing guitar, took lessons, really got into it, right through junior high, bands, of course, and, the whole thing.
Sure. I actually saw you play one time at my father's place.
Yep, that was in Roslyn.
Yeah, great club.
Roslyn, New York, yeah.
Yeah.
Great club.
Great club.
That used to be an old bowling alley.
Was it really?
Yeah, and they turned it into a nightclub.
I didn't know.
They were great acts there. It was really, really great venue.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So early on, who were some of your favorite players? Who inspired you?
Oh, God, definitely Aerosmith was, my biggest. Joe Perry.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, Led Zeppelin.
Yeah.
Jimmy Page, those are my two big ones. Definitely Jimmy Page and Joe Perry.
Yeah.
And, the bands that we were in, we were always two guitar players. And we always used to argue, who was better, Joe Perry or Jimmy Page? So I was always more of a Jimmy Page fan.
Totally. That's cool. That's so cool. So online, there's a full history about the store and all that. And people can go and check that out at the website, but give us your history of Music Emporium and how it matured over the years and everything.
Well, I mean, I basically started it with my brother and myself. I was still in high school, my last year in high school, and my brother was teaching at the time. So we originally opened just a small teaching studio, and we needed to, carry some merchandise too. So we had a little counter set up, with some strings and accessories and really nothing. We had two guitars in a window, and one was mine and one was my brother's. Either one was for sale. But then people started coming in for accessories, and we decided, the first, big line we were going to get was the Fender line.
Right.
And, it was tough to get back then, but I even remember we had to borrow money to get our first opening order for Fender. We had nothing. We really started with nothing. And we had this small store. The selling floor was probably about 150 square feet. And this huge tractor trailer pulls up to the store with all Fender gear. The driver jumps out of the truck and he's like, am I supposed to put all this stuff in here? And we just started unloading boxes and stuff, and it was just packed to the ceiling.
Wow. I never knew that. That's incredible.
Yeah, that's really the way it started. And then, back then, Long Island was a hot spot for music.
Yeah.
There were so many people that came out of Long Island.
Yeah.
Even some of our teachers back then, the Stray Cats used to teach for us.
Mm-hmm.
Bass player used to teach for us. Leon, his name was Leon Drucker. which, you know, he changed to Wheat Rocker.
Right.
And the Stray Cats came out of Belmore. I mean, you know, they were, then they went over to Europe.
Yep.
From here, and they were made it big over there, and then forget it. From there, it just took off.
Yeah, they used to play a place over there in Belmore called Arrows.
Arrows, yep. My brother-in-law, he stole that place.
No kidding.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep, that's where they got their start there. And, yeah, it just took off from there.
Yeah, I remember
and
seeing
so many
them.
Others.
Oh, yeah. That's another thing about your store. It was this breeding ground for these amazing guitar players that were taught there and hung out there. And
yeah,
I mean,
definitely.
Some amazing people.
We had the Long Island Drum Center down the block from us.
Right.
Literally one block away. So, you know, that was the hub. You know, the drummers would go to the drum center and the guitar players would come to our store.
Yeah, absolutely.
I really just started a little musical, you know, thing there.
Oh, absolutely. It really was the place to be. I mean, there were times where I didn't have to buy anything. I just went to hang out.
Yeah, well, you know what? You and a lot of people, that, you know, that's what we really try to make over the years. And even to this day, we still have kids coming in that are, you know, 12 and 13 years old. And we let them come in and, you know, hang out. And they, you know, they get a chance to play the stuff. Even if they're not, you know, buying anything that day, you know, we let them, you know, take things down and play stuff that they normally can't ever, you know, try. And, you know, eventually they do buy something. You know, they put it on their Christmas list or whatever, and they eventually do turn into sales. But
yeah,
we make a lot of friends along the way that way.
Yeah, no, for sure. You know, and that's one of the things also that I always enjoyed about your store was the good feeling. I mean, I would walk in there and everybody knew my name. And it wasn't just because I was always there, but everybody knew my name and they knew my tastes. They knew my personal tastes. And that's something that you don't get in the bigger box stores and stuff like that. It just doesn't happen.
Because they're not, you know, you usually have, you know, younger kids that they really don't care. You know, they could be there today. They're gone next month.
Yeah.
No, but we really develop relationships over the years and years and years.
Yeah, I mean, that type of customer service, you it's so hard to find nowadays. And I always appreciated that. I mean, I walked in and I would be looking for something in particular, and the salesperson, most times it was you, would say, you know what, I know what you're looking for. How about this? And you'd make a suggestion, and I'd be like, yeah. Or sometimes I'd walk in and you'd say, hey, this used guitar came in. Check this out.
Yeah.
And you'd put it in my hands and plug me into an amp and walk away and leave me be and let me just – and then eventually – and what ended up happening was I ended up buying it. You know, it was –
yeah, of course.
It was such an organic experience.
Music was so exciting back then.
Yeah.
Now, it was the 80s, you know, and it was that whole, you know, rock and roll era, which was so great.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really great. And I have such a warm heart and warm place in my heart for your store and the way you guys
awesome.
All treated me. It was great, and I always recommend it to everybody. And I actually,
great.
You know, I don't live in the New York area anymore, but all of my best friends are still shopping there.
And you know what we find is you know, a lot of those people have kids too.
Yeah.
So now we're catering to another generation.
Yeah, a good buddy of mine just bought a keyboard for his daughter from you.
Awesome.
So it's like, wow, it's like it's just it's continuing. It's just really great.
But we keep it going 30 years later.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, if you're okay with it, are you okay with dropping some more names as far as the people that have come in and out of your store?
Oh, yeah, there's been so many, you know. You know, I can remember, actually, with Aerosmith, you know, there was a time where Steven Tyler split from Joe Perry.
Right.
And there was a guy named Jimmy Crespo that took over Joe Perry's spot as a guitar player.
Right.
And they actually did one or maybe two albums with Jimmy. And he was a great customer. He was in all the time.
Great guitar player.
He used to come in. Great guitar player. Do you remember Jimmy Crespo?
Oh, yeah, for sure. The album, oh, God, I can't remember the album, but I remember one of the tracks.
I think it was, is it Rockin' a Hard Place or?
I think it's Rockin' a Hard Place. I remember Lightning Strike was a single.
That's it.
Yeah, and Bitches Brew, great tunes, great tunes.
He was great. He was really great. Great guy, great guitar player. So we hung out a lot. He was always at the store.
Yeah.
And, you know, back then there were no cell phones.
Right.
So I remember, you know, he was at the store so much that Steven Tyler used to call the store looking for him because he knew he would be there to let him know that they were rehearsing in the city that night. So we've taken calls from Steven at that point looking for Crespo. Be like, is Jimmy there? And, yeah, actually he is. Steven, hang on a sec.
I remember another buddy of mine, Al Petrelli, who ended up playing with Alice Cooper. He was there a lot,
absolutely,
too.
He taught for us.
Yeah, he did.
Taught a lot of players, a lot of things.
Yeah.
He was another great guy, great player.
Yep.
He's with Trans-Siberian Orchestra now.
Is that what he's doing now?
Yeah, but you know, along the way, I mean, he's played with so many people.
Oh, yeah.
Alice Cooper, Michael Bolton.
Yep.
So many. The list goes on and on.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
another great player.
Quite the breeding ground, that store, I got to tell you.
Absolutely.
Hallowed ground.
And we had a bass player teaching for us, Randy Colvin.
Yes.
And his best friend from school was Steve Vai. They went to college together.
That's right. Yeah, they went to Berkeley,
and,
right?
Yeah, and Randy was teaching for us, and we wanted to do a clinic. And Randy said, you know, why don't I give my friend Steve a call, and we'll fly him out here, and me and him will do a clinic. We haven't played together in a while. They used to be in a band called Morning Thunder.
I didn't know that.
College.
Uh-huh.
Yep, and so we flew Steve out. It was the first time Steve was, you know, just, you know, did his Flexible album. That
right.
was like his first recorded album.
Right.
His first solo album.
Right.
And we flew him in, and they got in late. They came to the store, and that was the first time I met Steve. And first time I saw him play, you know, like 3 feet in front of me.
Yeah.
They actually set them up. We set up Steve, Randy, and an MXR drum machine in the store. we put in a pattern really quick, and those two just jammed, and seeing Steve Vai's fingers fly like that first time right in front of you is amazing.
That is amazing, yeah. He's amazing. I've one time... Oh, goodness. He grew up in Carl Place, which is on Long Island as well.
That's right, yeah.
And... I was dating a girl from Carl Place, and I was shopping around a demo before I had Teaser started and everything else. And my girlfriend said, come on, let's go to Steve's house. It was Christmas week. She said, let's go to Steve's house. Let's knock on the door and give him the tape. I said, no, I can't do that. So she says, no, come on. So she dragged me there, dragging right up to the walk. She knocks on the door. Steve's mom answers the door, and she says, hey, we heard Steve was in town. Can my boyfriend just drop off this tape? She says, hold on a second. She calls Steve to the door. He comes to the door. I tell him, look, man, I said, you don't know me from Adam. Just could you listen to this tape? Tell me what you think. My number's on there. Let me know what you think. He says, come on in. He invites me. He invites me in, brings me up to his bedroom where he grew up. And we sat on his bed and we listened to my tape.
That's great.
It was the coolest thing. And he gave
a great family. His parents are great people.
Great people.
Really nice family.
Yeah, very grounded person. He really is.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
so that was great. And we did a few guitar clinics with him at my father's place, actually.
Yeah, I was at one of those.
Yeah, those were great.
Yeah. And I remember you did one at the store with Vivian Campbell, too.
Oh, yeah, Vivian Campbell. That was when he was in Whitesnake.
Right.
Yeah. And, that was great. Really great stuff.
Yeah, I was
guitar players back then, you know? You know, there was a time after that, you know, where their guitar players are far and few in between.
Yeah, very true.
But then, you know, it made its way back.
Yeah, they're coming back. It's all cyclical.
And they have been for a while, but, I mean, there was a time, like, you know, after, you know, Van Halen, you know, came out and all that whole 80s thing.
Yeah.
You know, towards the late 80s and 90s, you know, guitar was, you know, definitely took a back seat for a while.
Yeah, the solo went away.
Electronic music and stuff.
Yeah, the guitar solo went away.
Yeah, definitely. But, you know, then the old-timers came back out, and, you know, you saw, you know, Eric Clapton going back out on tour, and, you know, all the, you know, concert bands, and then rock band came, you know, on and, you know, introduced a whole new generation to that classic rock and rocks, you know, songs.
Absolutely.
It was great, you know, and then it just, you know, brought it, you know, back to where it was.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, guitar now now I think is as big as it's ever been.
Yeah. Your store was always, like, for me, was always a one-stop shop place for me to get, obviously, guitars, accessories, repairs, instruction. I even took lessons from John the Cat Gatto from the Good Rats there for 2 years. I was
really great guy, great player.
But what influenced that well-rounded approach? I mean, you guys were really one-stop shopping for all of that.
My brother and I always, you know, we love guitar. So, I mean, we really, you know, try to, you know, do everything we could for the guitar player.
Yeah.
So, you know, now we, you know, have ventured out to, I mean, you know, since the drum center moved away, you know, from our location, now we do carry drums, and electronic drums are really big. We carry keyboards, of course, and, you know, all the accessories. We even, you know, now we, you know, carry band instruments, too, for all the schools that are in our area. But we still are, you know, guitar has always been our main focus, and it still is.
Yeah, yeah. So right now, as far as gear is concerned, what's the hottest thing in the store right now?
Well, as far as guitars go, really Fender and Gibson are still the two biggest guitar companies.
Yeah.
You know, back in the 80s, you know, everything had to be pointy back then. If it wasn't pointy, it wasn't selling. You know, that's when, you know, there are all those other companies had come out, BC Rich and, you know, Jackson. Although Jackson is still big now, but
yeah,
you know, back then BC Rich was so big.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, now things have changed. It's gotten a little bit more traditional. You know, there still are some of those pointy shapes and stuff, but definitely Fender and Gibson are on top of the heap.
Yeah. I bought a San Dimas Charvel from you.
Oh yeah, no, Charvel's great.
Yeah, great guitar.
Absolutely.
Great guitar.
Awesome.
So, right now, who are you listening to right now? Is there anybody in particular that you're listening to?
No, I still love, I am still a classic rock guy. I mean, I'll still listen to, you know, Led Zeppelin and Aerosmith. And I even like, you know, other things like the Eagles. Mm-hmm. And, of course, probably my favorite band is the Beatles of all time.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, I think really everything came out of the Beatles. But, I'm still a classic rock guy, you know. Van Halen too is great. I still listen to all that stuff.
So being as busy as you are, do you get to play that much?
Here and there, you know, I get my fill every day at the store. You know, there's not a day that goes by that I don't pick up a guitar and jam. You know, playing out is difficult. Of course, I have a family now and stuff, but
sure.
We do get a chance to play at home. My family is very musically oriented. You know, my wife plays guitar, she sings. Even my kids, I have two girls, and they both sing and play instruments. So we keep the music going.
That's cool. Cool. What's your favorite personal piece of gear that you have, that you own?
I guess it's my Les Paul. I have a 77 Les Paul.
Wow. So
custom maple top. Yeah, that's my favorite, although I do have also a 73 Tele.
Ooh.
Really do like two. Those are my two favorite electric guitars.
So you have a Norlin era Gibson. That's interesting. So
yes, that's right.
Yeah, is it heavy as hell?
That name in a while.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. That's when they were owned by Norlin. Yeah,
Norlin, right? And they're heavy as hell, right?
They were, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. They make them a lot lighter now.
Yeah, for sure. All those chamber
guns. A lot of times what they do now is they'll chamber them, or they call them weight distressed.
Uh-huh.
So they'll actually put little holes in the Les Paul to make them a little bit lighter.
Right.
And they still sound great, but it's just a little lighter weight.
Yeah. Does the neck on your Paul have that heel at the end, up at the headstock?
On the top, it sure does. Yeah. That was the 70s. Yeah.
Yeah, that was really interesting, especially when you were playing certain chords to notch your thumb in there.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that's cool.
My guitar is unique in a way because it has a maple fingerboard, which is very rare.
Really?
They made them for a couple of years. I think it was 77 and 78. They made Les Paul Customs with maple fingerboards.
So it's a wow, I've never even seen that.
Yeah, so it's a maple top and a maple fingerboard and mahogany back and sides.
Wow, and binding?
Nice. Yeah, neck binding, you know, the block inlay.
Yeah. And what color is the binding?
White.
Nice.
Yeah, wow. White binding, yeah.
Yeah,
it's a nice piece.
I would love to have a picture of that to put on the website.
Yeah,
and the Facebook
page. I can take a picture and I'll email it to you.
Okay, cool. That'd be great. Wow, that's really interesting. How many do you think were made of that?
I don't know. We'll have to do a little research on that.
Yeah, that's interesting. That is very interesting. Cool. So let me ask you something. You're in it every day. You're seeing new stuff that's coming out. Your finger's on the pulse of what's going to happen next. What do you think is the future for the instrument?
You know what? They keep trying to change the instrument, making it more electronic and digital, and it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
Guitar players like things simple. And, you know, they made it right from the beginning, yeah. You know, and still, you know, the best guitars being made are even the new guitars that are made now. A lot of them are made to their reissues of the older guitars. So they got it right the way it is. Just don't change it.
Yeah.
And I don't see some of these companies try and do, you know, technical changes to the guitars, and it just does not work. You know, guitar players like things simple, and, you know, that's the sound of the instrument. That's the beauty of the instrument. That's what it was born to do.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you.
Now, there's nothing like a Great Les Paul or a Strat plugged into either a Marshall or a Fender amplifier, and it's just got that great sound.
Yeah, for sure. I agree with you. I absolutely agree with you. Hey, Charlie, I want you to hold on. We're going to sign off here, but I want you to hold on because I want you to do some IDs for me.
Okay, cool.
Okay, but Charlie, thank you so much for being on the Guitar Radio Show.
You're very welcome.
I got to tell you, I said to you when we chatted on the phone last month, I could not release the first show without having you as part of it because you were such a huge part of my musical development and helping me get the right gear that was right for me.
That's great. I'm glad I could be here for you.
So please, won't tell everybody where they can find Music Emporium on the web?
Sure. Our website is nymusicemporium.com. And if you're ever in New York, we're at 2641 Jerusalem Avenue in Belmore, New York. Come see us.
That'd be great. All right. I highly recommend it, ladies and gentlemen. Charlie, thanks so much.
Okay, Mark.
And we will see
you soon.
Buddy. Okay, take care.
Okay, you got it.
Bye-bye. And speaking of New York, here's a really cool kick-ass rock band from New York. They are currently on a summer tour hitting the Northeast. They are called Street Light Circus.
Living on the downside. We'll be right back.
downside.
Yeah, Streetlight Circus on the Guitar Radio Show. You can go to streetlightcircus.com, check them out. We're going to have them on the show in future months to come, interview, and we're going to feature, I'm hoping, a better part of the album to talk about. And we're going to hear about the dual guitar threat there, kick-ass drummer of Eric Fehrenbach and that great singer Dave Shaw. streetlightcircus.com. All right, we're going to do the first installment of something that we like to call...
Go Get This!
It's where we play some snippets of some brand new releases, stuff that's been coming out, could have just come out a couple of days ago, could come out a couple of months ago, stuff that has caught in our ear, me and Earl here, and we'll play some snippets of it. And the first one we're going to play for you is something from the new Santana album. It's called Shapeshifter. It came out about a month or two ago, and it's Santana getting back to his roots. The cool thing about Santana that I've always, always loved is you hear one note, and you know it's him. Just like Jeff Beck, just like Clapton. You hear one note, you know it's him. Here's a tune called Nomad from Shapeshifter. Yeah, that's Santana from the album Shapeshifter. The song is called Nomad. The next track is from Mike Stern. It's from his album called All Over the Place. The track is called No Way Home. Go Get This. Yeah, that's Mike Stern from his album All Over the Place. Here's a blues outfit called Bullet. Go Get This. That's the band Bullet with their album Renegade Creation. Next up, last but not least, the new release from Testament. Go get this. Yeah, Rise Up by Testament. That's a brand new release. That's Go Get This for this month. All great, great tracks. All great, great albums with great guitar work on it. So go to iTunes. Go get that. Okay? Here is a great band out of San Francisco. I love them. Eclectic surf music. They don't even like to be classified as a surf group, but I love them. Love this guitar work. Here are the Mermen and Honey Bomb. We'll be right back. Yeah, the Guitar Radio Show with the Merman from San Francisco and Honeybomb. I told you we were going to play a lot of different types of guitar music on here. I wasn't bullshitting you. I wasn't kidding around. Now, see if you can guess who this is. I'm not going to tell you. I'll tell you when we get back. Okay, did you guess who it was? You got any ideas? No, it wasn't John Five, who plays with Rob Zombie. No, it wasn't him, although he's quite the master of the Telecaster. No, this is a guy who's been known to be a pretty boy and play pop country and marry this really tall Australian girl. And yeah, it's Keith Urban. That's right. The guy can play. He sure can play, and he can play it all. For those of you, go check out on YouTube, and there are some videos of him playing some AC/DC that'll blow your mind. All right, well, we're going to get into something else now. It's a little bit of an editorial. This is called Guitar Zen. Yeah, this is where, this is one of those areas where I like to editorialize a little bit. I want to get you guys thinking. Get you into the game here. I want to talk about lists. We see them all the time. Rolling Stone has a list. GP has a list. GW has a list. Guitar Aficionado has a list. They all have lists. And when I say lists, lists are hard. You know, I mean lists like 100 greatest guitarists of all time, or 100 greatest solos of all time, or 100 greatest picks, or 100 greatest guitar techs of the late 60s, or some sort of drool like that. But when I say hard, I mean it's hard to stomach sometimes. If a list is compiled by readers of a publication, it speaks to me in a much purer way. I mean, hey, the people have spoken, right? But when a publication gets a group of other players to compile a list, it leaves me as serving as only the artist and the publication. You know, it's not preachy, but it's narrowed in its approach, and honestly, to me, makes no sense. Just print an article and ask the artist who they like and then go get a sandwich. I mean, I read an article from a fave player and they share with us, the readers, their fave players and influences. It's cool and I find the info useful for more research for my own playing and style development. But when small groups of artists decide who's the greatest 100 players of all time, that's narrow. Am I wrong? I don't think so. I mean, I feel that there are three guitarists who have graced us. And whether we realize it or not, they are the most influential guitarists of all time. Of course, my opinion, but in this case, I'm applying logic and in some respects some math here, okay? But I'm not going to share that with you right now, who I think those three guitarists are, because I want to hear from you. Who, to you, are the three most influential electric guitarists of all time? And not just from a technique, tone, or hit record standpoint. Yes, of course, that's important too, but moreover, how they affected the culture of music, the music industry, and the culture of the instrument through innovation and the industry connected to it, and the profound effect they had either directly or indirectly to the millions of players to come after them. As much as we love this stuff and our fave players, we can't come from an emotional place to consider this particular question. To me, it's really simple, as I am a fan of these three players. Yeah, but even if I wasn't, I would have to logically acknowledge these players for the imprint that they made. And as good as everybody else is, these three are responsible for more than anybody else combined. They created culture. So, who do you think they are? Write me, let the arguing begin, let the hating begin. You can write me at guitarradioshow@gmail.com. That's guitarradioshow@gmail.com. And the next show, I will read your replies. So kick the tires and light the fires, Big Daddy. We'll see you next time on the Guitar Radio Show. This is Mark Davin. Peace.
Say, fuck you, Ed!
Fuck you, Ed!
I like this crowd already.